I imagine you've heard the name Madam C.J. Walker, but do you know Annie Malone? Not as familiar with Annie Malone. Well, she was the mentor for Madam C.J. Walker. Joining us now is Linda Nance, who is the founder of the Annie Malone Historical Society. Thank you so much for joining us, Linda.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
So let's get the history record straight. Annie Malone really is the mother, if you will, of black hair care.
Absolutely. She's a pioneer of black hair care. She started walking, actually, throughout her community to introduce people of color, women of color, to hygiene and grooming of their hair. And that really was the thing that pushed the hair care. She taught women how to care for their hair. She had a philosophy that was a little bit different about beauty than most people. She felt that if you were clean and presented yourself in a manner that showed that you respected yourself, black women, black people would be more respected. She started a business in 1900. She started selling her preparations for the hair. As a young child, she would style her sister's hair, and after a while, she started styling neighbors' hair, and she started addressing some of the problems that they had. Black women, very early on, used goose grease and fat and lye on their hair.
Linda, goose grease. Is that, yes. Does that come from a goose?
Come from a goose.
Yeah, my goodness. Okay.
Absolutely. And it clogged the pores, and it caused all sorts of diseases of the scalp, which a lot of times left the hair leaving the scalp and damaging the scalp in such a fashion that it wouldn't grow back. So with her interest in chemistry and her ability to mix chemical compounds, she developed some treatments to the hair that would grow that hair back and heal that scalp. And she offered those to women. And that's what eventually became her Poro system, to keep the hair clean, to keep the scalp clean. And it really took off like wildfire.
Poro system, that's P-O-R-O, that's
P-O-R-O.
What she named her hair care system?
Yes, it was. It was, she trained women to provide hair care in such a fashion that it would keep the hair of women clean. It would style it in such a fashion that it was very attractive, and people would get lots of compliments, and who doesn't love that?
And we love that, especially about our hair.
Who doesn't love that? That's right. You always want to present yourself in the best way possible. You're not always the most attractive person, but you can keep yourself clean and you can show respect for yourself, and that really does take your self-image a long way. What she did do at one point, she went to St. Louis. She started in Peoria, actually, and she moved to St. Louis to take advantage of the World's Fair. It was supposed to take place in 1902, and it did not. There were some difficulties with some of the buildings that they had, and they postponed it until 1904. And the World's Fair in St. Louis occurred in 1904. But in the meantime, Annie Malone took a trip south and was addressing lots of other African-American women. That was a good, large market there. And she did that same thing where she walked door-to-door to people and talked. And they said, you know, we're really busy ladies here. We have responsibilities. And if you just get us all together in one spot and talk to us, it would just be a lot better for everybody. Well, that revolutionized her way of marketing. And when she came back to St. Louis, she talked to all the black press and all the white press that would listen and basically said, I'm going to open a school and I'm going to train women to give this same idea to other women and improve African-American women all over everywhere.
Wow.
And the press basically said, yeah, right. That's what you said.
Like to see you do that, huh?
Well, she had two other buildings here in St. Louis at different times. And she decided she was going to keep her word and build an even bigger facility that was a neighborhood kind of entity. And when I say entity, I'm saying that this was something that belonged not only as a school for women and a manufacturing plant, but it was to be a community asset. And it was a place where people could have meetings, and they could have concerts, and they could have dinner or ice cream. It was a huge facility. And she set about training people of color, women of color, to do exactly that. She opened a huge school in 1918. She opened the Poro College. It was a college and a manufacturing center. It had a large auditorium that seated 500 people.
That's amazing.
It had an ice cream parlor, and it had a cafe. It had a beautiful rooftop garden where she advertised a way for you to have your cotillions and your graduations and your weddings and parties. It was just a beautiful building. People could have meetings in it. It was a real show place. A block long, cost about $1 million to build.
In 1918.
Yeah. In 1918. With all the covenants that restricted where you could live in the St. Louis community. She built this building that was a showplace, not only for St. Louis, but for the world, really.
Absolutely.
It was known throughout the United States. This was a showpiece of the African-American community. It had the best of anything you could have at that particular point. The elevators were the best elevators that were made.
In 1918.
In 1918. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. She was very interested in uplifting her race of people. And she was, at one point, touted as a philanthropic zealot.
Wow. She believed in giving back to the community.
Absolutely.
And she had the fortune, evidently, to do so.
She sought out ways to help people. She helped with colleges. She helped give money to Howard University, their medical center. She donated $25,000 to that.
Back in the early 1900s. That is just unbelievable. No one was really doing that in the African-American community at that time. Am I off base on that? Not really.
You're
not in large.
Not really.
And women at that.
Not as large a scale as she did. Don't misunderstand me. There were other women in the community.
Sure, okay.
In the United States who provided hair care. But Annie Malone and her sister Laura, started this enterprise, and they were very successful at it. Very successful. In fact, Madam C.J. Walker was one of their agents at one point.
That's what I was going to ask. How did their lives intersect?
Well, when Annie Malone came to St. Louis, not too long after that, I want to say 1905, 1906, Miss Davis was her name at that particular point.
Madam C.J. Walker's name was Miss Davis?
Her last name was Davis at that point. And she was able to be employed by Annie Malone as one of her Poro agents.
Okay.
And what she did was make sure that she covered a large territory. What she did is had territories of people to go and sell her product. And Madam C. John Walker was dispatched on several of those tours to go and sell in different places. One of the places where C.J. Walker, her name was Davis at that point, and married a Mr. Walker.
Okay.
She was distributing things in Colorado. Colorado Springs, I want to say. And there was a big question as to whose products were who. She began to sell Poro products as her own products.
I see.
And there was some dissatisfaction with how that was going and what Madam C.J. Walker at that particular point There's a question as to whether it was ethical or not.
Okay.
I don't know and have not had evidence to give me anything concrete.
I see.
I just have newspaper articles that I have read from African-American papers across the country at that particular point. But there's that question. And what Annie Malone did is decide I must patent these things and patent the plural system so that it can be protected. And you find about that time different advertisements that say these are the plural products, these are the plural system products, and you have to be careful of imitation.
What's also interesting is that Annie Malone created an international business. Those plural products were sold internationally.
Yes, it did, all over the world. Nova Scotia, Haiti, Canada, all over the world. She had representatives all over the world.
And she did not have a computer database. She didn't use social media. Linda, how did she do
Twitter
all of
account.
This? Right, how did she do all of that in the early 1900s?
Which is pretty remarkable, if you ask me. I look at the dedication that she had to fund scholarships for two African American students in every black land grant college there was. I look at the fact that she contributed so much of her personal income to hospitals and to a personal charity of hers in St. Louis. The St. Louis Colored Orphans Home was her favorite, well, I'll say one of her favorite charities. She donated the first $10,000 to make that building so. It still operates today. Many people know about the Annie Malone Parade that occurs. And that parade still helps to fund that center that operates to this day.
That is an extraordinary legacy.
She is. She was a really powerful personality, but very demure, very quiet, very sincere in her wish to celebrate the good things in people. One of the fantastic things was the annual meetings that she would hold to congratulate her staff. She would give diamonds. She would give property.
Wow.
She would give stocks and bonds and encourage her agents to become a part of the community, be active in the community. There were Poro clubs that were established, and there have been students around the country who benefited as scholarships that came from those Poro clubs. She was a wonderful person to provide culture. One of the things that she did, a lot of people don't know, is dispatch across the country someone to video and film, I should say film, the wonderful things that African Americans were capable of doing.
Really?
And she would come back to St. Louis and show them at clubs and show them at church. She wanted to make it possible for people to know you can do anything you put your mind to.
What a beautiful spirit and an amazing American.
Yes, absolutely.
Annie Malone.
To revitalize that story is very important to me.
Okay. And if we'd like more information about Annie Malone, Linda, where do we go?
You go to AnnieMaloneHistoricalSociety.org. That's the website. Gives you a lot more information about her and gets you much more revved up than I could possibly do.
Well, you've done a great job of revving us up, so we'll visit the website. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're listening to the Village Celebration Podcast.